some of the Midrashim further on in the Parsha. We're told that Noach built the ark for 120 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the secret of how to grow the wood to get the exact length needed for the beams of the foundation, I guess, of the ark. He was taught which tree had to be planted 120 years in advance to grow to the correct size. He learned how long it took to grow a tree, that it would reach 300 amos, and how long to be 30 or 50. Noah planted each tree in its appointed time as he was instructed, and therefore he had the beams which corresponded to the dimensions mentioned in the Torah. Noah, it says, had the mitzvah to grow these trees himself, because we're told in the Medrash that the ark had some level of Kedusha, similar to the Mishkan, maybe in that it was the conduit to save the human race. And the obvious question asked by many is, okay, why couldn't Hashem Yisborach have taken Noach and his family, put them on an island, lifted it up on top of the water, and they could have stayed there? Why this elaborate building of this ark? And there are a number of reasons. He says, Noach's passion, I guess his devotion to this task, was noted by all. And people would ask him, Noach, what are you doing? And he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the world, said do this because he's going to send a flood to flood the entire world. And they would give him a bracha, and they would say, okay, if there'll ever be this flood, let it fall upon you and your house first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these people 120 years to reflect on the fact that Noach kept with this task. He didn't, in other words, it's not something that he did in his spare time, right? And they continued to hear Noach's words, and as well, Noach would say, you know, if we could all do repentance, we could get saved. And they said, you know what? We're not afraid. Some of them said, we're giants. We control the universe. If God will bring water from above, it's not even going to get up to our necks. We'll survive. And if he wants to bring it from below, we'll just step with our feet on the cracks and the fissures in the land, and nothing's coming up. We're invincible. And they were even more arrogant in saying, we know which angels have control over fire, over water, and any part of the universe. And we've got these great witchcraft tools that we can beat them down. Right, so they felt that they had all the tools necessary and they didn't have to worry about anything God could do. It says, the other thing is, okay, Noach needed a mitzvah, something to do to have the merit to be saved. And in going through this elaborate 120-year construction period, he basically earned himself the ability to save he and his family.
His family helped build it as well?
I don't know. It doesn't say that.
So
I don't know.
Why would his family have the source to be saved?
Because God wasn't going to leave him one man on the... I guess God... Right, a Kaddish Baruch Hu wasn't going to start, quote, Adam 2, I guess. Why? I don't know. If you can explain to me how the trees didn't listen to God when he told them what to do, I'll answer your question. Again, we don't know. It says, Rabbi Lazar asked his father of Shimon, normally a tzaddik is the first to suffer when his generation goes off and becomes corrupt. He says, this didn't happen. He says, no. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Noah to be saved because HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked Noah to be the new father, so to speak, of generations. And in order to have the accusing angel, or maybe Satan, from trying to basically single him out and, you know, hurt him, Noach built an ark in which, when the waters came, he would hide himself and be concealed when the punishment was above, around the world, and he was saved. Maybe we can say this is akin to the fact that the Jews at Mitzrayim were told to stay into their homes all night long while Makos Bechoros was going on. The full 120 years, right, was an attempt by Hashem to maybe get the generation to use 120 years step by step to get better. And it says that after 120 days, Meshuselah died, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave them the 7 days thereafter, which, you know, we could say is the Shiv of Meshuselah. I think it says that somewhere. And they had these last 7 days, the most, I guess he was known as the most pious man at that time. He was the greatest of the generation. And maybe if they realized that they no longer had his protection, maybe it would shake them up. But it seems they ignored it. It said, in those 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the laws of nature. The sun rose in the west, set in the east. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the world become this tremendously gorgeous place. It was akin to what we think of Gan Eden, right? They saw tremendous lushness, tremendous comfort. It became, in effect, a 7-day feast. And what Hashem was trying to do was say, wake up. This is the type of reward you can have later on in Olam Haba if you only do tshuva. It says, Kaviyocho, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in those 7 days, sat shiva for all those who were going to have to perish. In the last 7 days, Noach was busy gathering the animals which were pure. They didn't come on their own because they had an innate knowledge that their end fate would be they would end up being korbanos. And it says that the ark had a miraculous ability in that not every animal that came was allowed. It says there were animals that had taken over mankind and had corrupted. They had mated with other species. They were not allowed in. It says there's a tremendously large animal called the Re'em. and it had a young one. And they could not fit into the teva. And we have the following story to show you how large it was. David HaMelech was taking care of Yishai's flocks in the desert, and he came across a sleeping ram. David climbed on the back, thinking it was a mountain. The ram woke, and with a loud roar, rose to full height, propelling David into the sky, and David began to pray to Hashem. He said, if you let me off this ram, I will build you a Beis HaMikdash, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, 200 amos long as the horn of the ram. Hashem sent a lion to cross the ram's path, and the ram realized that the lion was the king of beasts and bowed down to it. David got off. And it says that in Tehillim 22:22, David said, save me from the lion's mouth, the same way you answered me from the horns of the ram. So somehow, this animal, I guess, was sustained outside the ark. Don't ask me how. But we know that's not the only survivor outside of the ark. Oig, the king who would become king of Bashan, would also be saved in the merit of the fact that one day he would come to Avram and tell him Lot was going to be captured, notwithstanding the fact that he wanted Avram to get killed so he could have Sarah for his pleasure.
Who was this
that was saved? Oig Melech HaBashan. Oig, the giant, the one who Moshe killed later on with Sichon, way back hundreds of years later. Oig swore to Noach and his sons that he would serve them, and therefore Noach allowed him to somehow stay outside the ark on a board sheltered by the roof of the ark. And Noach drilled a hole in the wall, and that's the way Oig was given food daily, it says. Hashem said, he says, Shnayim Shnayim, two of all animals will come into the ark. Those were the animals, Asher Einam Tahora, the ones which weren't Tahar, which weren't allowed to be used on the Mizbeach. And then there's a medrash that says defeat came to Noach and said, let me in. And Noach said, who's your mate, the seat? And the seat came and found want, W-A-N-T. And the seat decided to make a deal with want. And want said to the seed, what do I get? If you're wanting, you can eat it, right? I mean, this is way above the payday, my pay scale. He says, the seed said, whatever I acquire, you may take. And want signed the deal. Therefore, the two characteristics, deceit and want, went to the ark together, and therefore whatever is acquired in a deceitful manner, the want, the person who wants it, takes it away. Okay? It says that on the 17th of Cheshvan, in the year 1656 from creation, the rain began to fall. The first drops were gentle and had the people realize that look at all this gentle rain coming, which was unusual. And had they said, oh, we're going to do some sort of tshuva, they would have been saved. It says Noach himself, while he worked to the nth degree to build the ark, and while he was instrumental in stocking it, and in, I guess, arranging the animals, etc., still could not believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam would destroy all humans. He felt that Hashem's rachamim, his mercy, would overcome, and right? And so it says he waited until the water reached his ankles. And it says then he had a perception of a Malach HaMavesh, the angel of death, and he went in to the ark. Chachamim tell us, Medrash says, this is from Birkas Peretz. Noach was from the believing yet unbelieving. He heard from Hashem what was going to happen, but he says there's a vast difference between belief in the mind and belief that spurs one to action. He says every religious Jew says, I believe, right? Ani Mamin, maybe the 13 principles that the Rambam writes, right? But the question is, for how many people does the Emunah permeate into their actual being, into their actual personality? He says, the Torah talks about Emunah Chushis, sensory perception, that cannot but affect our lives constantly. If you look at the verb ani ma'amin, it is I work on myself to believe. It's a reflexive verb. In other words, I've got to continuously strengthen myself with emunah so that I get to that level. Noach's belief, this Meforish says, hit the intellectual level. He understood, but he somehow it had yet to permeate his heart. And he didn't yet really have the fear that the debacle was about to happen. Had he had the fear, you can be sure that the first droplet would have sent him flying into the ark. The Rishoyim said, okay, as soon as we see Noach making a beeline for the ark, we're going to take every axe we have and smash it to smithereens. We're not going to let him in. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? The Ribbono Shel Olam got, I think we call it a pride of lions, a whole group. And they became the bodyguards, right, around Noach and his family. In the broad daylight, no one was taking on a lion, or a number of them. And Noach and his family walked in to the ark. They spent 12 months on the water. And it says that the heavenly planets worked in another manner, and there was no way to initially tell whether it was day or night. Only the Zohar, supposedly according to some, the precious light of a gem of some sort that served as a skylight, right, brought light to the ark. And that's the only way they had some way, it says, knowing the time. It said it would shine, they knew it was night. And then it would dim, meaning Hashem was telling them it was day. There was not any peace of mind, peace of action for Noach and his family. They never had time to rest. They never had a night of full sleep. They had to feed each bird, animal, worm, whatever there was, and they all had different time clocks. That's their biology. Once it says Noach was late with the food for the lion, and the lion kicked him, leaving him limping. It says there was an animal by the name of a Zikis, which would not eat. Noach didn't know how to sustain it. He had a commandment to keep each animal alive. Once he cut a pomegranate, and a worm fell out. The Zikis ate it. Now Noach knew what he had to do, and he generated a supply of worms. Maybe he biograded whatever he had, like how did food exist for a year, etc. I don't think GE was there.
Greenhouse.
The greenhouse effect?
Awesome.
He had wind power, right? Once Noach realized that a bird called the chul, right, didn't eat, and Noach went, and he could talk. He was like Dr. Doolittle. He could talk to the animal kingdom, and he asked, "You haven't eaten. I don't know when you last ate." And it answered, "I never wanted to bother you. I see the tircha, the bother you go through. And I decided, you know, I'll eat when I have to, but it doesn't have to be a regular thing."
Which one was this? Which channel?
Chil, C-H-U-L, or I guess either a ches or a chaf and a lamed.
This animal is not around anymore?
I don't know. Listen to this. Noach gave the chul a bracha that you should live forever. Okay. And when Noach was in the teva, he would always pray to Hashem, "Please, Rabbono Sholom, deliver me from this prison. Somehow, all I smell are lions, bears, and panthers." And Hashem said, "You're going to have to spend a year in this floating domain." What was the reason? The world was destroyed at the end because of robbery, which was egoism. It's, I want it, I need it, I take it. In order to build a new world, people had to cultivate chesed, pure giving, mercy. And this was the school of mercy this work needed. We're told that the ark floated like a ship on the ocean, and the world when it became a no man's land of water. It rained heavily for 40 days, and these raindrops had been previously boiled in Gehenna, causing the skin to peel off people. These were like the bora. These were like the boil. Like the hail in Mitzrayim, a combination of water and fire. The wells and the fountains of the earth, all the, I guess, submerged waters also poured forth boiling water. The giants of the generation began stamping on these springs. but the water was so hot they couldn't do it. So what did these wonderful people do? They started taking babies, children, and they try to plug the hole with kids. Well, you know, let's use these things. If they die, no problem. And it says that if not for this combination of fire and water punishment, they would have survived. The water reached 30 feet, 15 amos, higher than the highest mountain, because this generation said, we are giants, we're 15 amos high, and if there's a flood, we'll jump on top of Everest or whatever other mountain there is. And now the water was higher than that. The mubble wore down the heaviest of substances. Only the fish survived because they had not cross-mingled. All human bodies disintegrated, not even a bone. And the Medrash asks, not even the luz, that indestructible bone, so to speak, that we say, right, is going to last forever. Or which somebody suggested maybe means our DNA, which lasts forever. Hadrian asked of Yeshua ben Hananya, what is God going to revive the dead from? And he said, the luz. A luz was brought, and he showed the emperor, take this bone, try to ground it in the mill, try to crush it, try to burn it. Nothing affected it. As a matter of fact, the hammer cracked. This is preserved. However, it says, none of those who perished at the time of the mubble will ever arise. Hashem Yisborach blotted out, totally eradicated, the memory of that generation that had brought the flood. Okay. That is today's shiur.